Beginning in verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the road broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate, and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you'll recognize them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. You may be seated. Sunday, we had Fifth Sunday Praise. Last Wednesday, we were looking at verses 7 through 12, and we looked at the passage where it's talking about, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be opened to you. Now, Jesus has been speaking this message about how to get into heaven, the attitudes you need to have to be a Christian, to be saved. And now he's talking about asking, seeking, and knocking. You ask for something you want that you don't have. You seek for something you missed. You're going looking for something. You know what you're missing, and you're going to find it. You're seeking. And knocking, your way seems to be blocked. And you're looking how to get through the obstacle in your way. And Jesus is saying, ask what you want. Seek for the thing you think you missed. And knock on the door of what you think is closed. God will give you what you wish if you wish in His will. God will also help you find what you thought you missed. And He'll provide a way for you to get past the obstacle that you thought was blocking your way. Ask, seek, and knock. And then Jesus uses the example. Our earthly fathers, when we ask for bread, are not going to give us a rock. Said, here, it looks like bread. Now, Satan will do that. When Satan was tempting Jesus, he said, why don't you take those stones right there and turn them into loaves of bread? And if we ask our earthly father for a fish, he's not going to give us a snake. And if our earthly fathers know how to give us what we need, can't our heavenly father give us more? Our heavenly father already knows what we need. Now, Jesus has explained the attitude of how to get into heaven. He's described about how not to do it, talking about the hypocrites. Don't be like a hypocrite when you pray. Don't be like a hypocrite when you give your offerings. Don't be like a hypocrite when you fast. Don't be like a hypocrite who's just putting on a facade. And now he comes to the part. He's given the description, the way to get to heaven, and the way to pretend you're getting to heaven. He says, now you got to make a choice. There's a bunch of twos here. We got two roads. We got two gates. We got two trees and two fruits. Coming up, we're going to have two houses. and two foundations. And there's a judgment coming, and there's two destinations. Well, Jesus talks about the two gates, and the gates, sometimes that throws us a little bit. They come before the road. You got a gate and a road. You don't know what's down the road, you just see the road. Now, when you go to the airport, there are many different gates. If you go to the wrong gate, you're not going to be at the plane taking you to the destination you want to go to. You got to be at the right gate to end up on the right plane, to end up in the right destination. I heard a story about a guy that got on a flight to go to Oakland, California. And he was wondering why it was taking so long. Ended up, he had got on the flight to Auckland, New Zealand. Auckland, New Zealand was not where he was wanting to go. He was wondering why it was a 15-hour flight. It shouldn't take that long to get to Oakland. Well, he had got on the wrong plane, and he ended up in the wrong destination. We need to understand that the gate we go through determines where we're going to end up. We have a wide gate and a broad road. People who want the easy way with no delays, that's the one they take, the broad road and the wide gate, sort of like the interstate highway. There's lots of lanes, no stoplights. You don't have to make any choices. As long as you're heading the right direction, it's going to get you from point A to point B with very little difficulty. You don't have to check the map. Do I have to turn here? What do I do at the next intersection? No, you just keep on going. You stay on that interstate to get to your destination. You don't have to ask for directions. Am I on the same interstate? Yep. Still says Interstate 45. I'm going there. You don't have to worry about stoplights. You don't have to worry about staying in one lane. You got many different lanes. And that tells us a lot about our life without Christ. We don't have to make any hard choices. We stay on the interstate. We don't have to see, is this right or is this wrong? We don't have any time where we're stopped to think about things. We don't have to think about checking the map, the Bible, to see, should I go this way or should I go that way? What path should I take? And you got many lanes, so you can weave back and forth a little bit, changing lanes. But the end is what you can't see when you go through the wide gate, destruction. It's the easy way. And it's not marked, this is the way to destruction. This is the easy way to get to heaven. This is the easy way to end up in the right place. But the narrow gate and the difficult road, there are hard choices we have to make. We have to check the map, the Bible, frequently to see if we're making the right decision. There's not a lot of room to go back and forth. And sometimes we're stopped at a stoplight, giving us time to think for a little bit. In 1967, a news reporter who wanted a little break from covering the Vietnam War, presented to his boss the idea, let me have 3 months just to do some easy stories for a while. He had been over in Vietnam in the midst of battle covering the war. His bosses agreed. Got 3 months. He went off and started traveling the back roads. His name was Charles Kuralt. And he did a program called On the Road from 1967 to 1980. 3 months turned into 13 years. He said, interstate highways allow you to drive coast to coast without seeing anything. He avoided the interstate highways. He avoided the big cities. And he would go to small towns. And one time, what he would just do, he'd go get a phone book, find a name, and call them. It was ordinary people, folk, he called them. Didn't think they were important, but there was always a story there. I like one I read about where he talked about he went met this guy who had a book written down everybody he had ever met. Charles Kuralt asked him, you ever met anybody famous? He looked through his book, said, Jesus Christ. There are people that just leading ordinary lives. But the story resonated. They would have been missed. But he told their story. And you see, ordinary people had extraordinary things happen to them. They didn't think they were important. But there was importance. And that in the world, as Walter Cronkite said, after he saw the first episode, because he didn't want it. That would mess up the news. After he saw the first episode, he said, we got to have this. In the midst of war, where all you were seeing on TV was the fighting in Vietnam, Charles Kuralt let us know there was something else. There's another path. And he showed us a different side because he took the back roads. Well, God has something more important to us. He has eternity in heaven with him. But it comes by traveling the road God would have us follow. Going down what seems like it's uncomfortable, troublesome. If you turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 2. It tells us how to view the trouble that comes in our life. In verse 2, James chapter 1. Consider it consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. As we go down the narrow road, there's going to be trouble. But that makes us who God wants us to be. It leads us to life. And back in our passage, after it tells us there's two roads that are entered through two gates, it might seem a little off task or a little change of subject to be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. But it directly relates to the two roads. Sheep's clothing is what shepherds wore. And he's warning, watch out for false preachers. Watch out for false teachers They're coming to tell you, take the easy road. Don't take the hard road. Do everything that's easy, because God just wants your life to be easy. God doesn't want you to have any problems in your life. Well, that doesn't come from the words of Jesus. He tells us to cast our burdens on Him. And He tells us also, if they treated me the way they're treating me, they're going to treat you harshly too. Some of them are going to throw you in prison thinking they're doing God a favor. He said, don't worry, I'm right there with you. Watch out for false prophets. And that's nothing new. In Ezekiel chapter 13, God is warning about false prophets here also. Ezekiel chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are prophesying. Say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets, Israel, are like jackals among the ruins. You did not go up to the gaps to restore the wall around the house of Israel, so that it might stand in battle on the day of the Lord. They saw false visions, and their divinations were a lie. They claimed, this is the Lord's declaration, when the Lord did not send them. Yet they wait for the fulfillment of their message. Didn't you see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you proclaim, this is the Lord's declaration, even though I had not spoken? Therefore, this is what the Lord God says. You have spoken falsely and had lying visions. That's why you discover that I'm against you. This is the declaration of the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and speak lying divinations. They will not be present in the council of my people or be recorded in the register of the house of Israel, and they will not enter the land of Israel. Then they will know that I am the Lord God. Since they have led my people astray by saying peace, when there is no peace, and have since with a flimsy wall is being built, and they plaster it with whitewash, therefore tell those plastering it with whitewash that it will fall. Torrential rain will come, and I will send hailstones plunging down, and a whirlwind will be released. When the wall has fallen, you will not be asked, where is the whitewash you plastered on it? And in Acts chapter 20, Paul is talking about false prophets in the New Testament. Acts chapter 20 and verse 29. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Men will rise up even from your own number and distort the truth to lure the disciples into following them. False prophets will come, trying to tell you to take the easy way. Go through the wide gate, down the broad road. It's the easy way to heaven. You don't have to face any trouble. You don't have to worry about doing what God says. All you have to do is convince yourself that you are on the right road. Ignore, or don't even bother to check what God says about the path you're on. Just trust those false prophets. And Jesus says, you'll know the false prophets. Look at their fruit. Is their fruit in keeping with the word of God or not? And then in verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now, Are we saved by what we do? No. But what we do shows we're saved. Because we don't always want to do what God wants us to do. In James, it tells us to show our works. You say you have faith and I have works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Where is your faith? Prove yourself a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Jesus says, many will even argue with me on judgment day. But Jesus, you're wrong. I am a Christian. Jesus says, no, you're not. I never knew you. Depart from me. Look in chapter 25 of Matthew and verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So how do we know the right gate? Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 7. Jesus said again, truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. And Acts 4:12 tells us there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. We need to remember, the gate is just the start of the journey. We don't see down the road. If we were at the gate and saw the fires of hell around the other side of the gate, I'm not going through that gate. But we look at it as the easy way to get to heaven. But it's the wrong way. We must enter through Jesus. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14, 6. He is the gate. What gate are we going to enter through? Are we going to say, I'm not going to go through that narrow gate because the road doesn't look very comfortable? Well, the road is not going to be comfortable by our definition, but it ends up in heaven. The road that's comfortable gives people the comfort they have here on earth, but ends in the fires of hell. And we need to tell people and show them the gate, Jesus Christ. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, I thank you that we could be here today to sing praises to you, to see what your word says we should do with our lives, and to live our lives differently. Let us apply what we've heard, being doers of the word, not just hearers. In Jesus' name, amen.